29. I'm going to ask, Dada, is it possible that you could be seated up here? I need to use you in the middle of the sermon. And Cliffy, you have a Bible. You can bring your water up here. I'm just going to use you guys for about 1 minute, but I don't want to have to call you up later. 1 Chronicles 29, please. Everybody find it. Let's stand, please. This morning's message is on one of my favorite chapters in the entire scripture. I don't know if 1 Chronicles 29 is something that moves you, but it is the greatest passage in the Bible on one subject, bar no other scripture. And I'm going to preach on the subject, but I would like you to actually hear what I say. So I offend all of you quickly, so you can tune me out quickly. I'm going to preach on giving. But I'm not really preaching on money. So it will require you to think a little bit. And I actually wasn't kidding when I talked about Robert. He is not the reason. I'm not preaching to him. It was what his mother kept. I saw his mother twice recently, and I'll talk about that. But both times she kept telling me the same stories about Robert. And may I say this? I think those stories are true of many people in this room. 1 Chronicles 29. I've entitled this, by the way, Frenchie, for you that are very interested in this, More Than Giving. Verse 1. Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young. And the word next means tender, but what does it mean in application? I think maybe we would translate this in slang, he's wet behind the ears. Does that work for you? Does that mean anything to people from not America? No. Doesn't mean anything. He's inexperienced. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a pup, okay? And the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Can you imagine you're going to build the temple, not where God was limited to, but where God manifests himself? That's your job? Wow, that's a big one. Verse 2. David says, Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and silver for things of silver, and brass are better. Brass and bronze are related, but this is bronze. Bronze for things of bronze, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set. I think this means glistening or sparkling stones, and of divers colors or different colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. So he didn't throw something together that looked like a 2x4 outhouse. This is a life's work. And by the way, what you give God, it tells you everything about yourself. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold. And what a talent means is insignificant. It's a whole bunch of gold. Gold of Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal. The gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the people that were the craftsmen. And who then is willing to consecrate his hand? Consecrate his hand. The Hebrew word is a phrase that means to fill your hand. So he's not being religious. Well, I've dedicated myself to the Lord, but don't expect any money. Who's willing to fill his hand? Who's willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly or freely, same word, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of bronze or says brass in the King James. Bronze is, they're both made of copper with different alloys. 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron, and with them, with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of a guy named, that I can't pronounce, Jehiel the Gershonite. Wow. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered what? Because with perfect heart they offered willingly or freely to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. They come from you, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." By the way, that's the greatest verse in the Bible on giving, bar none. If you know one verse, you never have a problem with giving the rest of your life. If you do not know this verse, giving is a problem your whole life. Where do you think what you have comes from? Answer the question. You say, "I'm a smart guy." Where do you think that comes from? Who can remove that? By the way, everything we are comes from God. You say, "I'm not preaching on giving this morning." You'll quickly figure that out. I'm preaching on something else. We continue. "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a what? A shadow. And there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people in which are present to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and all and of Israel." So Abraham, Isaac, and we would say Jacob, but Israel was his other name. "Our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee." I'm going to speak this morning on more than giving. I always know when I preach on giving, I make people nervous. And I want to say this to you. If you do not give, I want you to listen, because I'm not going to preach on giving. But I want to tell all the folks that already give, I don't ever waste time talking about giving to non-givers. Why? Some people just don't give. I learned a piece of information this week or last week that just blew me away. People do a lot of this, but very little giving. And I'm not talking about money. A lot of religion, very little else. This morning, we're going to understand giving. So I'm going to talk about Robert early in the sermon. Love you, Robert. I'm going to talk about my favorite person in this room, Zeben. Because I learned something a couple weeks ago. She's been doing a lot of giving. I'm not talking about money. And there's somebody that's very appreciative of her giving. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a blessed day. May it be a day, Lord, that changes how we approach some things. May it be an encouragement. That is my only desire. I desire to encourage everyone. I desire to encourage those that have been disappointed along the way with their giving. May we all come to grips with some of the greatest text ever written, ever stated on the subject of giving. More than giving, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was about 6 a.m. And I was trying to remember how long ago. 43 years ago. Can you believe that? Maybe 44. Why you can remember something that long ago and I can't remember what I ate 2 days ago, I don't know. About 44 years ago, I was in training in Washington, D.C., at Bethesda Naval Hospital and George Washington University. Now, that was, I didn't know it at the time because I was young and stupid. So I want to say to parents, when you see your sons and daughters, it's usually sons or worse, and they're total boneheads. Look at me. I'm first in line of boneheads. I love you, Nancy. Cassie, you need to split apart here. Lightning might hit her. I was at Bethesda Naval Hospital, which was connected at that time with Walter Reed and NIH. And NIH is National Institute of Health. We were doing research in the 1975, 76, and 77 on things that would not go into the public for 5 or 6 or 7 years. I came to this area, worked at Great Lakes Naval Hospital. We had done research in blood bank on what was called LIS, LIS. Now, you don't have to know what that is, but it's low ionic saline, which allowed us to do a transfusion to prepare for a transfusion in 15 minutes as opposed to over an hour. We were doing that in 75, 76. I came here at Great Lakes. We did not have that technology or that ability. I went to the other hospital when I left here. They did not know this. In about 2 years after I'd been there, they said, we're going to start doing blood bank differently. And I'm like, I was doing that in 1976. That's the difference of a research place. Bethesda, Walter Reed, and NIH was a great combination. But during blood bank, we had three parts. You had school. You know, that old rough and tough learning all the school stuff. You had the laboratory, which means you actually had to cross-match blood with patients. And then my favorite, you had to draw units of blood. Now, if you ever go to the hospital and they draw a little tube, that looks like a small toothpick. If you give a unit of blood, it looks like a big pipe. I had drawn hundreds and thousands of people by the time I learned to draw with the big pipe. It was my first day. Oh, I can still remember. It was funny now looking back. And they said, we're going to draw your first blood from a patient. We're going, are you listening, to the FBI. Come on. Come on. So I went to the FBI. To the first time, and by the way, drawing a little, sticking that little needle is so easy. I can do that asleep. You wouldn't even know I was asleep. I'm so good at that. That pipe is different. Here I go. I still remember. We got everything set up, and the FBI agents came in, and in walked a young lady, walked up to me. She was a few years older than me. Probably she was 24, 25, 26. She was a little African-American lady. And I don't remember what the weight cutoff was. Was it 120 or 115? She weighed 115. If it was 115, she weighed 115 with the gun on her hip. And the gun was on her hip. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you don't want to mess up with an FBI agent. They can do you bodily harm with their gun on their hip. And if they don't do that, they can track you down. Oh, I still remember, and I was so thankful. I felt her vein, cleaned her up, got her ready, stuck her, and blood came out, and I went, boom! Oh, I was happy that day. Filled up that unit of blood. Now, one of my friends didn't know how to turn it off. Now, you have to understand, there's a way, there's a secret. It's not a secret to any, if you've done it 1,000 times. You can weigh it, or you can also just feel the bag. And the bag is a certain thickness, and you should have about that much when you squeeze. He made a football. He drew 2 units of blood instead of 1. Yeah. Now, why do I tell you this story? The second or third time I was going out to draw blood, not the FBI. This was much nicer. We'd go to Quantico, Northern Virginia, Marine Corps. Not the Marine Corps, the Officers' Candidate School for the Marines. Well, these are guys that ran, 12 miles a day. They would eat nails. they had veins this big around. You could hit them like a dart and get blood from them. They didn't need anything. They were macho guys. We were there that day, or preparing, excuse me. I was preparing to go to Quantico one morning. And we were getting everything ready. We were getting our kits ready, filling in the van, getting everything set up. And we were all done. Everybody was drinking coffee. I don't drink coffee now much. I didn't drink it at all then. They were all drinking coffee, five or six of them. And I'm standing over, minding my own business, and they start talking. Why at 6 in the morning, five sailors are talking about tithing? And one of the young ladies in school with me, I have no idea what her name is now, she was talking to the people, and they were bringing up money and giving and tithing, and she kind of went like this. I have heard that Baptists give 10% of their money to church. They tithe, and everybody's like. And about 30 seconds later, it dawns on her, I'm sitting over here, and what am I trying to do when they say that? I'm trying to find a place to hide, because I do not want to get in a conversation about money. You say, do you tithe? Yes. You say, why? My mother made me. From a little child, my first dollar, I can still remember crying because one dime, Mom? Yes, but that's beside the point. After a while, that young lady remembered that, and she looked at me and she says, Ralph. She said, Ralph, aren't you a Baptist? Then she asked me the question, do you tithe? Now, look at me in the eyes. This morning's not about tithing. Are we good? I told you that story because I like the story. Let's look back let's actually do this. Let's look at Acts 11, would you? Acts 11. Everything else is going to be in 1 Chronicles 29 except the very beginning. Acts 11. I'm going to make exactly four statements. And for everyone in this room, these statements are from 1 Chronicles, but they're geared to different problems that we face, okay? So I want to address one very important problem, but it'll be point three. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Are you there? 11, verse 27. It says, in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Antioch in Syria, not Antioch out here, just a few little bit from us. And it says, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and he signified by the Holy Spirit, that there should be great dearth or famine throughout all the world, the Roman world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So he, by the Spirit of God, revealed to him that there was going to be a famine during the days of Claudius. Well, the first emperor is named Augustus. He's in Luke 2. The second emperor is Tiberius. He's in Luke 3. He was the emperor under which Jesus was crucified. He was emperor from 14 to 37. Augustus died in 14 AD. He became emperor in 27, but it goes back further than that. So you have Augustus, you have Tiberius, you have a missing emperor. He was emperor for 4 years. His name was Gaius Caligula from 37 to 41. He was assassinated. And the next guy that comes to power, my favorite actually, he's one of the best emperors in the first century. He had problems walking. He drooled. They considered him something was wrong with him. When they killed Gaius Caligula, he thought they were going to kill him too. So he hid behind the curtains. This is a true story. You know how they'd have curtains like these, but they'd be like on the walls because the walls were made of stone. He hid behind the curtains, and a Praetorian guard came into the palace and saw somebody. He was kind of not, saw his feet sticking out. He yanked the curtain back, and the Praetorian guard saw who it was. He bowed to him and said this, "Hail Caesar." He became Caesar hiding behind the curtains. Claudius was one of the good emperors. In AD 43, he's the guy that took the Roman army into England, and England was in Rome from 43 AD to 400 or so AD. So we got some history there. So God tells Agabus there's going to be a famine. By the way, look at me, friends. The first idea in this text is this, in 1 Chronicles. Believers give. Let me say it again. Believers give. Now, you're still getting nervous because I'm going to say a whole bunch more. Look at the next verse. What does it say? The first response in verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to what? This is not tithing. This is a gift for people in need. Every man or woman, every individual, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did. Believers give. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Would you look there, please? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. This is a basic premise of being a Christian. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Paul writes to the churches and the people of Galatia, and he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So as a believer, believers give. That's what we do. We do it specifically, obviously, we tithe to support the ministry of the local church. We give to missions to support mission efforts. We give to help people in need. That's what believers do. But let me back up. Stop. I mentioned the lovely, the one and only Zeban. Some of you are confused and think her name is Veban. I even got her dad to call her Zeban a couple weeks ago. At least one time. I have no idea how much money Zeban makes. I think she's independently wealthy. Is that correct? No. When I talk about giving, please listen. I'm going to read this, but I want you to hear me. That lady, I found out accidentally how much she gives, but not money. Let me read this. I'm not really talking about money. I'm talking, are you listening? This is what I'm talking about. Giving, serving, investing in people, helping, mentoring, sacrificing, teaching, sharing, assisting, directing, encouraging. I'm talking about everything that we do that connects to giving. Many people think giving is just money. Let me say something. A person who doesn't give money doesn't give at all. There's something about giving that you either do it or you don't. And the folks who don't give at all. So when I say believers give, I have no idea what Zeban gives to our church or to missions. But I found out in K4, of which I go into that classroom about four times a week. This was a couple weeks ago. I walked into the classroom and Perfect On has them all seated there perfectly, quiet. The moment I walk in, they go nuts. And they don't listen to me at all. Steve, and your daughter is the worst. I will say, please be seated. And one day she just looked at me. And I thought, oh, come on, grumpy kid, don't do that. You're not my daughter, so I can't do what needs to be done. Well, that day I walked into the class. Sister Ann, I give her a bottle of, I don't know why she likes it, warm water. Who drinks warm water? I give her a bottle of room temperature water. She then goes to the restroom, so I get the kids for about 5 minutes. Immediately, Abu said to me, my auntie is in the hospital. And she started to cry. Because I even asked her. I asked her the last day I saw her, Thursday. I said, Abu, do you love your auntie? Don't ask Abu that question. She's going to grab you by the throat. She kind of does this look at me. By the way, Zeban, you've been investing in Abu. And she loves her auntie. She thinks her auntie is special. And she said, can you pray for my auntie? Because she's sick. Can I tell you something, friend? How do you know you're a believer? Believers give. Unbelievers don't give. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about all the thousand ways you invest in other people. Hello? Hello? Here's little Abu. She didn't mention Dad. Young, I don't know if she even likes you. But she likes her auntie. And she wanted to see her auntie. And then when Zeban went to the hospital, Abu was not happy because they wouldn't let her come in to see her auntie. Ooh, she was not happy about that. So when I talk about money, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving, serving, investing, helping, mentoring, sacrificing, teaching, sharing, assisting, directing, encouraging. Obviously, the broad category is giving. The rest are simply ways we give. And we give of ourselves in many ways. And usually a person either gives in all of these areas or they give in none of these areas. But I know this for sure. Believers give. If there's a need for people, they want to give. If there's a child that needs some assistance, they want to assist. If there's a little niece that needs someone to love her, they want to love her. That's what believers do. But unbelievers only give to themselves. They're always giving to hear. And when you listen to them, everything they do is about themselves. No, believers give. Now, Zeban, I told you I was going to talk about you. That's my Abu story. Now I'm going to talk about Robert. Do you know why I'm preaching this? A couple weeks ago, I don't remember what date. Jenny, was it you and I went to the hospital to see Robert's mother? Robert's mother was in the hospital for how long, Robert? Week? Was she there a week or so? All I know is I finally get to the hospital on a Monday. And Jenny and I get there, and we go there at lunchtime or something, and there's, you know, Robert's mother, Monica, and there's Dad, Carlitos. And Monica, the first thing she says to me, she says, I have a list. Nancy came here. I got her on the list. She gave me the names of everybody that had visited her. She said, Pastor, your name's not on the list yet. And that came straight from Nancy being evil. Well, that day, your mother told me something, Robert. I'm going to tell the church. By the way, Filipinos in here will just yawn at this. The rest of you will go. Your mother said, when Robert first joined the Navy, he immediately sent me money home to pay for and help pay for the three younger siblings to go to college. Sleepyheads, can I get something from you? She even told me exactly how much. She even this last week, when I was there this last week, I went to visit her someday. I don't know what day it was. I went to the house to visit. I brought some Chinese food. She did have a good meal that day because she ate. Dad ate with me, and guess what? She brings up Robert again. I'm like, come on, quit talking about Robert. I don't like him that much. And she kept saying, yep, he gave me this much, and I could use that to help. He has a younger brother, which is Carlitos Jr. Would you call him Junior? What do you call your brother? Jun-Jun, of course. Jun-Jun. Calls him Jun-Jun, and you have two younger sisters. And she had it all spelled out. She said, Robert gave me this money. I could give this to this one, this to this one, and all three of the kids. So your brother's a nurse. Actually, all three of your siblings went through nursing school. I don't know if Robert paid the whole way, but may I say this? Unless you don't know Filipinos, every Filipino in this room has done that. My guess is our African families do that. My guess there's a whole bunch of people that do. Can I tell you something? Christians give. Unsaved people give to themselves, and I don't care how religious they are. I'm done with religion. Check in boxes. But there's nothing from here that ever gives to anybody. When I'm around Christians, it never ceases to amaze me. Oh, yeah, so-and-so was sending money to help this and that. Why? This is what we do. Yes or no? Let's look back at 1 Chronicles 29, would you? First Chronicles 29, read with me, please, verse 11. I have said something very simple. Believers give. Are we pretty sure of that? Yes or no? Secondly, we have to ask the question, why do we give? Because if you're not a Christian here this morning, or if you're a religious person only, you're wondering, why in the world would a Christian ever give? Now, we can get religious about this and do religious things, or we could be honest. Believers give because believers have been given to. Do you recognize that? You say, what, at the core of the matter, why would I ever give to someone else? Because if I understand the scripture, every single thing I have has been given to me, and it kind of becomes a reciprocal thing then to give to others. Believers not only give, they give because we have been given to. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. You might want to underline some of these lines. I'm going to read the first verse because I love the verse. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor, what? Come. In modern English, we would say come from thee or come from you. Why? Why do we give? Believers give because we've been given to. David is simply acknowledging everything he's giving, he has received. He goes on to say, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Verse 14, but who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, or from thee, and from thy own, of thine own, have we given thee. Believers give. Believers give because we've been given to. We recognize that everything we have comes from God. Please, friend, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about life. I don't know how much Jesus gave to the temple, but he gave everything for mankind. Believers give of themselves. They do it to help their family. They do it to help their church. They do it to help missions. They do it to help those in need. It's just part of what we did. Why? Because we have been given to. Verse 16, please. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee and house for thine holy name cometh of or from thine hand, and is all thine own. Over and over he keeps saying, we're simply giving to you what you've given to us. Yes, we give, but we give because we've been given to. Let's turn to Acts 17. There's one passage, forgive me, that I meant to. We're going to have to do another passage out of this text, just for reference. Acts 17, verse 22. Would you look there, please? We'll come back to 1 Chronicles 29 again. Acts 17 and verse 22, please. It says in Acts 17, 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. If you're reading the King James, earlier it calls this the Areopagus. Mars was the Latin name. Ares was the Greek name. Areopagus means the hill of Ares. Mars Hill, it's the same place. They were using both the Greek and the Latin name. In Greek, it's Areopagus both places. But that means Mars or Ares. False gods, okay? So Paul is standing in Athens. Down where my sister lives, there's a place they call Athens. It's hard to get them back and forth. Athens. And he was standing in the middle of Mars Hill, and he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. And actually, we have found several of those in Athens. You want to cover all your bases? You even make a little false idol to the unknown gods. You want to cover all your bases. So Paul says, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. and he starts to describe our God. And by the way, he doesn't start with love, and he doesn't start with emotions. He describes who God is. God that made the world. That's who our God is. He's not a false God that you have to pray to and give food. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with all men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all. What does he give to every person? Life, breath, what else? All things. Verse 26 is a wonderful passage. My friend, no matter where you're from, we have one blood. It's called human blood. Did you know that? We all look different in this room, but we're all human. You say, aren't we different genetically? Actually, we are and we're not. We're this much different genetically. We focus on the differences, but they're minor, minor, minor. Actually, we're all of one blood. I know my genetics, whatever it means. I wanted some Cameroonian blood, and somehow I got Sudanese blood. Where did that come from? Where do you get Sudanese blood over here in a white guy? I don't know. And then Rolando gets Cameroonian blood. That's wrong. Let's keep reading. It says, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. My friend, we give, believers give, because we've been given to. Let me say it all in a different way. We give because we've been given to. We serve because we have been served. Has anyone ever served you? Young men, you never need to speak to me, because I won't speak to you if you ever mistreat your mother. Because that is the woman that served you as a child when you couldn't serve yourself. And the ungratefulness of a person who will not serve the person that served them, something is perverted at the core. Hello? We serve because we've been served. We invest because someone's invested in us. We help because someone has helped us. We mentor because someone or someone's has mentored us. We teach because someone has taught us. We share because someone has shared with us. We assist people because someone has assisted us. We give direction to people because someone has directed us. We encourage people because someone has encouraged us. At the core of giving is a person that's just honest. If you don't give, you're a liar. You're denying what's been done for you. How can you not give? Believers give, and we give because we've been given to everything from God and tons of things from other people. Have you ever sat down and made a list of the people that have invested time in your life? The moment you do that, what Robert did is honorable. May I say this? But it's what a lot of Filipinos in this room have done. Because it's just what you do, especially when you're the kuya or the manong. You have responsibilities. Is that right, Robert? May I say something? Do you have responsibilities? Have you fulfilled them? I think that's what we do. Number three. Back at 1 Chronicles, please. Now we get to, I'm going to answer a different question. The points are all in 1 Chronicles. Believers give. We give because we've been given to. I wanted to answer the question, why do we give? And the answer is simple. We've been given to. Why do we serve? We've been served. Why do we help? We've been helped. Why do we teach? We've been taught. It's just a reciprocal thing. God has blessed us. We want to bless others. It's just kind of a natural back and forth. Now, friend, are you ready? There's a third question. There's a bigger question. Have you ever given and been disappointed? Answer the question. Have you ever invested in someone and your investment didn't turn out? Yes or no? You're the person I want to speak to this morning. There's a trick. I learned it a long time ago. We're going to read it in the text. It's not a trick, but it is a trick. Let's read together, please. 1 Chronicles 29. We'll start reading in verse 5. It says, "The gold for things of gold, and silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the," we'll say, "craftsmen, artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day?" Do you notice this phrase? Who is willing to consecrate his service this day unto whom? The Lord. Verse 9. "Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to whom?" To whom? Thank you. Verse 16. "O Lord our God, all this store have we prepared to build who a house?" God a house. Is that correct? Verse 18. "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their hearts unto..." I want to deal this morning, when I look at giving, I want us to know that we give. I want us to know why we give. We give because we have been, say it with me, we've been given to. We serve because we have been. We share because we have been shared with. It's a recipient. Unless that hasn't happened to you. The third concept is a different issue. Gentlemen, you want to stand up? We're going to go back to text, and I'm going to tell some stories, but I want to go here first. Have you ever given something? This is something, whatever this. And by the way, do not think money. I haven't been talking about money. I've been talking about what? Giving. That guy over there, somebody asked me to start investing some time in him, or giving him money, or praying for him, or mentoring him, or whatever. Here's my gift. And by the way, time is money. So when you really invest money in somebody, all that is monetized time. Is that correct? Now, you can do this. You can just go give to him. The problem with that is what? If he disappoints you, what's the natural tendency? After a while, I'm not going to do that again. But I want to share something with you that I believe believers do too. Number one, believers give. Number two, believers give because we've been given to. And number three, believers give. Are you ready for this? We give to the Lord for whatever we call this. Go ahead and give that to him. How do I state it in my notes? We give, look at me, to the Lord for the work. Does everything I've ever given to pan out? Oh, no. But I didn't give it. I didn't give it to Cliff. I gave it to whom? Was God pleased when I gave it? Yes or no? You see, part of your problem is you spend too much time thinking like a pagan. David wanted those people to give what they gave to the Lord for the work. May I say this to you? You never have to be disappointed in your money if everything you give, whether it's money, time, prayer, investing, mentoring, helping, you're going to have lots of failures. Yes or no? No, you're not. You're not going to have any because I didn't give it to him. I gave it to the Lord. And if the Lord is pleased, are you all getting this? Now, we have a church here in the Chicagoland area. We have two of them. Willow Creek is in free fall. Of course, I wouldn't consider them a church. They're on the evangelical left on the very skirts of liberalism. Pretty far on the evangelical left is Harvest Bible Chapel. Started out conservative, moved farther and farther and farther and farther to the left till it's a disaster. Most of you know James McDonald was fired recently for many reasons. That's not even the issue. Do you know what the big problem is? People are now demanding their money back. Well, in a pagan environment where you're giving money to an organization, you should get your money back. May I ask you a question? How much money have you given? Well, everything I've ever given is to the Lord. And I've never been disappointed because I gave it to him. Every time I invest in a person. By the way, have I ever been disappointed in people? Are you kidding me? The person in the last 24 years, with exception of this guy, that I have invested in Rick Melvin, that I have invested more time in, was one guy that absolutely blew out of this place as if he had never heard of this place. Never seen him since. You say, were you disappointed? It hurts. Does that mean I'm going to quit investing? I was doing it for the Lord, to the Lord, for that person. I can't control that person here, but I can control this, my heart, and I can give to the Lord. There are many disappointed Christians. Do you know that? Are you all with me at all? I would ask those people at that dumb church down there going to a rock and roll service, I would want to know, who were you given to all these years? And the answer is, you already know. This was a semi-Christian environment, which most people exist in, that had some religion thrown in, and everybody was peace and love, and they were given to build a superstructure. I want to say this. Gentlemen, have a seat. I might use you again. Because I like this. Do you like this illustration? Yes or no? God was very, very good to me. In my early years, everything I gave to financially, people I invest, folks, I invested years ago in a Bible study on the base, the Naval Hospital, the third floor in the medical photography lab. Many of those men are still in Bible-believing churches today. Jim DeWar, Craig Busho, Frank Pasolacco got saved. He's with the Lord today. We had a big group of guys coming there. May I say this? My early years, I had very little disappointment. I remember on the base, back in the days where this meant a lot of money, we decided to raise money for a missionary. Just the guys in the base. We didn't tell anybody. We didn't put a plaque up. We didn't tell, wow, look at me, I'm the greatest. A bunch of us guys got together when this meant a lot of money and gave like $240 or $250 to Jacob Celli in the ministry in India, which is still going strong today. My early years in ministry, I had no disappointments. Have I met people with disappointments? Many, many, many. Many people are disappointed. They're disappointed because they gave something and it didn't work out. Please look at me. If I'm on the street and somebody says, can I have money? Now you do whatever you want. If I have the money and I'm by a place, I'll say, I've done it at McDonald's right over here on Wadsworth and Sheridan. There'll be people that will meet me and say, can I have some money for some food? And I said, no, but you can have some food. Let's go to McDonald's. I've only had one of them going to McDonald's with me. But I'm going to be honest. Somebody asked me, we've had Bambi knows. She hates me. Couldn't get an amen out of that one. Nancy would give you an amen. Somebody comes here and says, I need $20 to get to Chicago. If I have $20, which I'm not independently wealthy like some of you, stand up, guys. That person, he needs some money to get to Chicago. You say, how do you know he's going to? I didn't say give him $10,000. Don't be stupid. But if they need $20 and I have $20, by the way, you say, what else do you do? Well, we bought people tickets before, haven't we, sister? So they can't even use it for anything else. It's kind of hard to do that for everything. But if I had, I'm not talking about a lot of money, but if somebody needs something to eat and I can't give it to them right now, I give that to the Lord and give it to them. You say, that's weird. I'm done with being disappointed. And I have never been disappointed with the Lord. So you have a choice today. You're either going to be one of those Christians that's never get, well, I'm not even talking to people that don't give. If you're one of those people, I'm not talking to you, okay? That's another world. Give my money back. Look at this guy. Thank you, gentlemen. You can be seated. You can't trust this guy at all. Ah. Please look at me. I'm going to do the fourth point and be done this morning. Is this helpful to you? Number one reason pastors get out of the ministry. There's only one reason. Disappointment. They get tired of being lied to and disappointed with people. The only hope you ever have of surviving is the Lord is the one that's the center of your life, not people. People will disappoint you. The Lord hasn't disappointed me yet. Over a lifetime of giving, a lifetime of investing, a lifetime of helping, a lifetime of loving, a lifetime of serving, there can be many disappointments. Or there can be, in one sense, no disappointments at all. Because not only do believers give, and they give because they have been given to, they give to the Lord for the work. So if for some reason the work doesn't work out, they didn't give it for the building, they gave it to the Lord. He's sovereign, he's in control, and he's happy. And if he's pleased, I'm happy. We now finish up this morning. I hope you recognize I'm preaching this for your benefit, and I'm not looking for you to give one nickel to this church. Boy, if you're not hearing that, you're not listening. Let's look back at 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5. I have said this morning, believers give. They give because they've been given to. They give to the whom? For the work, whatever the work is. Number 4. Look at verse 5. And you'll want to look at these texts. The ESV translates it half and half, which is okay. The word means willing or freely, makes no difference. Verse 5. David says, the gold for things of gold and silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hand of the craftsman. And then he asks this question, well, who's willing? Who wants to willingly do this, consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered what? What's that word? Willingly or freely. It's the same word. They did it freely. So we give. We give because we've been given to. We give to the Lord for the work. And number 4, we give willingly or we give freely. You say, what does that mean? We're going to look at more verses. You say, what does that mean? Friends, when you give with no strings attached. You have high expectations and you have high hopes of what God is going to do, but you're not under any kind of... So let me just say how I wrote it. We give freely or willingly, which means there's no strings attached. If you prefer Latin, there's no quid pro quo. And there's absolutely no guilt. My friend, why do I not preach on money? Because the people that won't give never give. Ever. The only people that get hurt is good people who are serving and giving and investing. They feel guilty because they don't do more. Guilt should never enter into your Christianity. You do what you do freely or willingly. No guilt, no utang na laob, no quid pro quo, no strings attached. You do what you do because you want to. Does that sound good? Do you know what that will do for you? It will eliminate a lot of problems. I've done what I wanted to do. I want to do this. Let's look at the rest of the verses. Look at verse 9, please. So in verse 6, they offered willingly. Verse 9, it says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly, or freely, either one works. They offered freely, they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Verse 14, David says, but who am I and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have, what's that word? Willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Friend, please look at me. The most giving person I ever met in this church, Sharon Vasilovich. I do not know if that means she gave the most financially. That woman was always looking for people in need to help. And she helped rescue several people. One of them lived at her house for a couple of years while she was finishing school, then went to a university. She wasn't there because of her good looks. She was there because of Sharon Vasilovich and Pete. But she's been disappointed a lot along the way. Because people don't always do what you think they should do, and they're not always thankful. Look at me in the eyes. Here's how you give. Believers give. We give, why? Because we've been given to. We give to the Lord for the work, and we give willingly, freely. There's an old joke. It's not a joke. You can read it in Benjamin Franklin's autobiography. So it's not a joke. Benjamin Franklin used to hear the great preacher George Whitefield preach. And Whitefield was a great preacher. He had two great gifts. He was a great preacher, not an organizer. Great preacher, and number two, he could raise money. Benjamin Franklin said, every time I heard him preach, I had to give money. He was raising money for an orphanage in Georgia. He says, one time I went there to hear George Whitefield preach, and I decided I'm not taking any money. Now, in those days, most of the money was in coins. He says, I emptied my pockets. I went to hear Whitefield preach. After he preached the gospel, which Franklin didn't believe and never got saved, he then said, and after he preached the gospel, then he made a plea for the poor in Georgia in an orphanage. And all I know is what Benjamin Franklin said. He says he preached with such passion, and he pled for the orphans. He said he went around to people trying to borrow money to give to the orphanage. Now, may I say this to you? That's a great story, isn't it? What a greater story is when a person gives willingly and freely. You know why? You never feel guilty. You never feel abused. You never feel misused. I've done what I've done because I chose to do so. More than giving, believers give. We give because we've been given to. We give to the Lord for the work, and we give willingly, freely. That's what I want you to hear this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Bless these truths.